Time to say hello to Wayne Cleveland with the Texas Grain Sorghum Producers down there where it's raining cats and dogs.
Well, you know, here we're kind of insulated from it. We really hadn't, we've had maybe an inch and three quarters here at the house, which is great. For a guy like me, I don't have an irrigation system in my yard. Try to be conscious about things like that. I just don't like paying a hot water bill here. Our water bill's, you know, $75, which is not a lot of water down here. But, you know, apparently the drought is over, Todd.
Well, it is down there, still kind of hanging around here a little bit. Every once in a while we get a little sprinkle.
Yeah, we you know, this is kind of good, bad thing, I guess, but understand where the two reservoirs are, Stead and Falcon, are catching a lot of water out of that Hondo kind of Uvalde Basin. Been talking to some guys in Corpus Christi, Lake Corpus Christi's catching a lot of water. So, and there's a lot of interest down there. Earlier this year, I think that Corpus Christi Reservoir Basin was about 7% full, which would be consternation for anything. But, you know, and then we have the tendency to kind of live in the moment now. Policy-wise, we don't have a water issue anymore. It rains, so, you know, don't worry about it. And that's probably the furthest thing from the truth as far as water goes in Texas. And, you know, it's pretty interesting down here. It's interesting how the dynamic changes, and, particularly on water, Todd. But what rain have y'all had up there? Has it been pretty good?
Oh, half inch here and there, and, you know, it's pretty spotty, but do pick up a few showers here and there.
I'm kind of curious at the ranch to see where we've had, you know, maybe an inch of rain in the last week. Of course, we're converting everything from production ag into Bermuda grass. Some of it is just our own, some of it's with equip money, you know, and we're the guys you want out of the system that kind of haphazardly grew cotton and occasionally a little wheat. Really that land around us, and I'll speak for myself, is just cattle farm. You know, I'm not sure that when my great grandparents broke that thing out that they thought, you know, it'd be competitive, but they broke it out for sustenance. You know, they broke it out because, you know, they needed a garden. Cotton was still, you know, really hot in the late 1800s. And then kind of got to where they could make maybe a bale of cotton. And then that's kind of where it peaked out. I think that's all that dirt can do is about 450 pound yield. You know, every once in a while there's a good yield, but heading that thing kind of backwards with just grass. And, you know, you couldn't ask for better weather to plant grass. We've had a big rain, and then we got it planted, and then we had another smaller rain, and we've had, you know, an average amount of rainfall this year, which has come kind of all at once. But then these one-inch rains for us, you know, if you get a, let's just say a half-inch rain on hay grazer versus a half-inch rain on grass, two different worlds. Hay grazer doesn't, you know, accept it quite as well. But the grass just looks like it rained, you know, 5 or 6 inches. So really, really happy to get that moved over and get those acres taken out of production so we're not screwing up the curve for guys that really, you know, can grow cotton. There's a lot of good farmers around there as well, but, you know, for guys like us, we're just trying to get backwards to where it was. But, you know, do a lot of presentations for people that, and groups that don't have a lot to do with agriculture, now starting to kind of take some of my notes from agriculture that I'm giving to little civic groups and stuff about urban sprawl. And the data center deals is quite big. And I think the urban sprawl and the data center things kind of go together because that is urban sprawl. And it's listening to a guy last week from CoBank at the Ag Co-op Council meeting, and really what those data banks are doing is, I think, and going back to, you know, that acreage sprawl, you know, we've lost 3.8 million acres in the United States over the last 5 years. 1.8 million of that is permanently gone. It's got concrete or houses on it, or warehouses or data centers. And, you know, that land's not coming back. And that, for the most part, private, you know, good dirt, like in the valley. At one point, they had 1 million acres of cotton in the 50s. And today, I think they have 45,000 acres of cotton. So that's probably the case in point. But, you know, these data centers are taking up a section of land. But when I stopped through Paducah and visited with my buddies there and rode around for a couple of hours, and I asked him what he thought about data centers, and he goes, it's going to save us. He said, it's giving a lot of people jobs. And he goes, we know it's only going to be for 2 years. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's actually on the Triangle Ranch, which is east of Paducah, between Paducah and Crowell. I mean, and probably 98% of people that listen to your radio are rural, probably don't even know where that is. It's not like it's, you know, downtown Toledo or close to here. And he said, Wayne, it's changed the whole demeanor of Paducah. And I don't know, he doesn't speak for Paducah, but he said, for the first time, there's something exciting coming to town. And it's, you know, made people pretty wealthy in some cases for man camps. And then, of course, that land. And he said, those jobs, I think he said 1,200 jobs there for a couple of years. He goes, those are very important to hear. And we know a lot of people are going to come in here that are not going to bring the best they have with them. But what are our other options? What are our other options than dying on the vine? And I know it's the Texas Tribune. I'll go to this has a one-day seminar on those where they're going to kind of vet, you know, the positives and negatives of that. But when you look at rural America and you look at agriculture, it needs every bit of help that it can get. You know, and that's our message. And I'll be in Mexico City next week with USTR and visiting about the trade agreements and negotiations with USMC. But we're losing these little small towns. And I mean, unless somebody has a better option for that, you know, and it's going to change the dynamics, but we've just kind of let rural America go. And I think that's sad, because with that is a culture, and it's a culture of good, hearty people that are willing to take risk and willing to work and have deep values that have been vetted over years. And, you know, we see this administration has tuned in a lot more to that. The last administration was much more DEI, and this administration seems to be much more dialed in to the agriculture sector as a core. And what does that whole sector bring to the economy? And I think, you know, going back to kind of the trade agreements, and we see, you know, China's tapered off in its sales or purchases of grain sorghum in the United States. That's all waiting on a trade agreement. There's not a demand. And this government, I think, is dialed in, and it has the patience to wait on that. But also, you know, it realizes that in the interim, you have to have, this is an ad hoc disaster. This is an absolute disaster that no one could have planned for, or no insurance could have taken care of. So they've put money into that system. And I find nothing wrong with that when you're protecting your food supply and your farmers. And even at that, it's pretty rough. And visiting with folks yesterday about the new disaster programs coming out, it's $11 billion, and it has a lot of promise. Hopefully it gets attached to the defense spending bill. You know, whatever it takes to get it there is much needed by rural America. And in the interim, you know, some of these things I hope can help. The oil boom, you know, of course, a lot of absentee landowners at home that oil money, they have oil on them, and they get the check, and it never hits town. It goes to some other big city and maybe a trust fund. But this money from data centers and this money from USDA, I think, is really helping rural ag. And I'd encourage people to kind of dig into it on the water issue, which I don't think is quite as big as the electricity issue. But if we're generating electricity and we're using natural gas and, you know, it comes off, I don't see, and this is just my personal opinion, but we need to do something, because we're losing rural America and we're losing those values and, you know, kind of the Norman Rockwell being, and hopefully this gives us an infusion, gets us somewhere down the road. But got a lot of interesting stuff in front of us. We're going to start focusing on our international markets, start having groups coming in, sending groups out. I think China is close to trade agreement. Feel like July 27th is kind of a date that, you know, farmers need to look at. You know, we have a big crop that's virtually out in the valley. The upper coast and the coast is probably 50-60% done. So more grain sorghum in the central part of Texas than I've ever seen in my life. So we've got a good crop queued up, and we're going to sell that. We're in the process of telling the Chinese that, had a group come back, and then we're going to start sending people over again. I'll go over again, hopefully to bolster those markets. But, you know, between that and the dairy industry, the ethanol industry is, NST was up in D.C. this week with Growth Energy, which is our trade association, stumping for E15. You know, we're seeing a lot of focus on that. And all those proponents hopefully mean something to West Texas and rural America and can kind of prop that thing back up. If we can keep the ethanol plants healthy, you know, is one thing. We need to keep the dairies healthy, because they bring a lot of money into rural America, and tempered around that, we need to make sure that all this is good for rural America. So a lot of interesting stuff going on. I'm being awful pensive this morning, Todd. I have a kind of a cerebral day in front of me of planning, but, you know, hopefully, you know, it keeps raining and rural America is able to thrive through this, because boy, it'd sure be a shame, to continue to watch that thing go down the drain. And that's where I think we've let it go, because we don't revere the farmer and rancher, like we used to, and we've kind of forgotten where our food comes from.
Well, I was over in a little town yesterday that used to have a Lowe's grocery store, and there's nothing there. It looks pretty good, though, from the outside.
You know, growing up there in Paducah, we had three grocery stores and I think two car dealerships and a bunch of used car dealerships. And you go through in there now, man, and Paducah's doing actually pretty good. They got a big lumber yard and they got a new cafe. And again, it's just, you know, they're rebuilding a little hotel there. So you can see that momentum, man, but I'm rooting for it. I'm ready for it to come back. And, you know, I grew up in a town that died, and I'm raised my kids in a town that came to life. When we moved here, it was 1,200 people. And today they opened an apartment complex downtown that was 1,200 people. I mean, overnight, Todd, you see this beautiful black land that's selling for $30,000 an acre. And that's not sustainable for farmers unless these guys are sharecropped. And it's been an interesting life. Half of it watching the town die and half of it watching the town come together. It's, you know, interesting contrast there.
I'm a big fan of the small towns, so I grew up in a town of 280 people at Christmas.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And you know, rural radio is a part of that. It's all a part of our culture. And, you know, I listen to WBAP, and my wife goes, "Why do you listen to that?" And I go, I don't know. I'm connected, and I kind of like the, you know, where you actually have to listen to it. And you know, it reminds me of my childhood a lot, but still kind of the same conservative values there. And rural America is a wonderful place, man. It's good to see in some places where it's growing back, and hopefully we can get that, you know, back organized and make it where it's really just a cool place to be, like you and I grew up in.
Time for some more cowboy coffee, Wayne, and we'll do it again next week. Give out all your contact for Texas grain sorghum producers.
Yes, sir. I may not be on next week because I'll be on my way back from Mexico. I got a 4 o'clock flight. So I'll check on that and see where I am, Todd, and catch up with you on Monday. But I'm in my office all day today. My cell phone number is 254-541-5375. Thanks, Todd, and y'all have a great weekend.